Welcome to episode 158 of the Daniel Yoris podcast with today's guest, Rachel Schwartz. Let's go. Welcome back to the podcast, everybody. We are very lucky to be joined here today by Rachel Schwartz. And I say very lucky because Rachel is super busy. She's a mother and a owner of a phenomenal business. And for someone to make time to come speak to us, we're very lucky. So Rachel, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. Oh, wow. That was such a great intro. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, no, you deserve it. I think one of the things that I maybe criticize myself on is like, you know, not married yet, no kids yet. You don't get it, right? And I don't think anyone can say that to you. Married, kids, business owner, like, yeah, give me your excuses. I still do all the things. And so I think that's important to say at the beginning, because anyone who's going to be like, oh, it's easy for Rachel to say, no, it's fucking not.
Yeah, I always like to give everybody a little bit of a benefit of the doubt, but it is, yeah, it's like you can have a lot of shit going on and still get your stuff done that needs to get done. If it's a priority, you'll make it happen. If not, you'll make an excuse, right?
Love that. Love that. Rachel, how do you describe what it is that you do?
So I primarily do one-on-one nutrition coaching, where I basically just help people that have been struggling with food noise, with yo-yo dieting, with diet trends for their entire life. You know, like I know it's men and women, but of course I can relate more to women and just the fact of, you know, especially the time if you grew up like in the 80s and the 90s, I mean, there's always going to be that next fad diet. It's like Weight Watchers, it's Atkins, it's South Beach. We grew up with a lot of like almond moms around, you know, it was the beginning of all the fake products that were coming out with filler ingredients, where like the low fat trend and the no sugar and all this, where your head is just spinning. And, you know, I have women that are an array of ages, you know, some up to even their 70s, where they still don't know how to have a healthy relationship with food. They've been in a place weight-wise where they're unhappy. They don't feel healthy. They can't move the way that they want to move. And they're just, they feel like they're, you know, aging, but not aging gracefully. So I really work one-on-one to help women not only lose weight, because I am a weight loss coach, but really also at the same time to really get, I don't want to say get rid of, because I don't know if it ever goes away entirely, but really try to strategically remove and eliminate as much as possible the food noise and the old school way of dieting to just, you know, a healthier relationship with food and a healthy balance in terms of moderation, and knowing that you don't need to be perfect to make progress, which I feel like is so, you know, that's such a trendy thing to say these days, but it really, really is the truth. And it's really hard for that to hit home with a lot of people because they still don't believe it, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that some of the focus on living a healthier life or more sustainable, making better choices, people can get to the go a little bit too extreme with that, where they're almost like not losing weight and like encouraging too much pizza and cookies and all that stuff. And like, of course, there's a place for that. But at the same time, you don't have to be like hardcore dieting, count every single macro, every single thing that you eat forever. Like when you improve your relationship with food, a byproduct of that is more, most of the time, going to be weight loss.
Yes, 100%. I mean, it's just too polarizing. It's too on, off, good, bad, yes, no. And that's, you know, one of the things that I work on with like the majority of my demo, because again, like we all struggle with this. It's like you think you have to get an A+ when you really just need to be in like that B-minus range consistently in order to drive the most progress and to get the most results long term. It's like anyone can go on a fucking diet and drop a bunch of weight. Like, not saying it's easy, but like people like that like restrictive, controlled environment because they don't have any choice, right? Like with choice comes challenge. So people get overwhelmed when they have too many choices, and then they tend to like kind of go balls to the wall with it. And that's where things tend to spiral, because they think just because they're eating things that are higher in calorie, therefore they're not going to drive progress. They're just not using it with strategy.
That's so important to say that I love that the choice comes, that makes it things
the
very, very difficult.
Yes.
Choice comes
yes.
challenge. Things makes things very difficult. It's really easy to say like, okay, I'll just cut out all the carbs. I'll cut out all the vegetables. I'll cut out all the meat. I'll cut out all the insert food here. Like that's real easy to follow. But then, you know, eventually people will come to people like you and it's like, well, I did this last time and it worked. And then in my head, the smart ass answer is like, well, if it worked so fucking good last time, why are you here? Right? Like obviously it didn't work. Right.
Right.
But you know, you can't actually speak to people like that. And I don't, but you know, we can say that on the podcast because we're speaking to each other and, you know, many people listening, but I wouldn't coach someone that way.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rachel, you were also in that boat. many years ago.
Yeah, so this is really where my coaching came from. I don't have any like aha moment, and you know, people are like, mm-hmm. when did it just like change? It wasn't like a day I woke up and I'm like, oh, I want to be healthier. But basically I just struggled, like a lot of girls and women out there, with, again, I have like a very like diety type of household that I lived in, and my parents are actually still like, I mean, I love them, but they're still in that like headspace of like, that's fattening and da da da. I'm like, is that even a word anymore? But you know, I grew up in this life where it was like, I was on whatever diet my mom was on. I was always like a chubbier type of kid, and just like inherently. And I grew up with like lots of body image issues, all or nothing, good, bad. And it was into high school, and then it went into college, and it got worse. It's like, you think you're going to become smarter and older, more mature, mm-hmm. and it just got worse and worse. And I was in my mid-20s, and I was like the heaviest I'd ever been. Which, you know, I wasn't like obese or anything, but I'm a really tiny person. So like 30 to 35 pounds on me, a 5 foot, like nothing, little tiny human, is a lot. And like, fuck the weight. Like, I didn't feel good. I was like partying my ass off. I was late night binging. I was then trying to work it all off at the gym and trying to undo everything that I had done. And it just got to the point where I was exhausted. And I'm like, there has to be a better way. Like, I can't believe I haven't found it yet, but I haven't. So I really just tried to almost like unlearn everything that I knew. And I started to do like a deep dive into like podcasts and books and functional medicine doctors. You know, this was when like podcasts were just becoming like hot. And that was great for me because I never liked to read. Mm-hmm. And I just like did a deep dive into it. And I realized that once I started to, number one, like cut back on exercise, I was obsessed with exercise because, again, like I was constantly like a hamster on a wheel trying to undo everything that I had done over like usually the weekend because, you know, of course, Monday to Thursday, I'd be quote unquote perfect and then just like binge my face off. So I scaled back on exercise and I was smarter about it. And then also along with that, I really removed all of the fakey filler foods because that was another thing that I was so dependent on. And I realized when I introduced like, oh, wow, shocker, whole real foods with actual nutrient density, that's when I felt my best. And that's when the weight started to shed off, even though I wasn't counting calories. So it really was just like this natural progression. And when I had, you know, a 9-to-5 job that I worked at as a project manager for years, and right before COVID hit, like coaching was kind of like up and coming. And I'm like, oh, like, and I was always talking to people about it, right? Like at work and on the side, people are like, what are you doing now? And how are you doing this? And I loved it. Like I talk about this shit till I'm blue in the face, as I'm sure you can. And then I enrolled in a program called IIN, the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, which is a more like functional nutrition type of training. And I loved it. And then I was like, fuck it, let's go. And then I just started teaching coaching on the side for free. And then COVID hit and I was working from home. So I'm like, oh, like, let me really try to like pick my business up. And I did. And then a year later, I quit my job and I never looked back.
Amazing. I absolutely love that story. That's phenomenal. Thank you. I want to talk about the filler foods and not to like discount stuff, but I know we're on a little bit of a time crunch, which is perfect because you have a big fiery personality. So this podcast is going to be super punchy and super actionable.
Thank you. Yeah. Let's do it.
But so the filler foods, this is a big thing. And I'm like always super critical of it. Like people are reaching for the healthy bread, the healthy dessert, the healthy insert, whatever here. Now, there are some foods, like food technology has certainly improved a lot in the past, let's say 8 to 10 years, where like there's some stuff that's like, oh, that version of that bread or that version of XYZ food is actually good and doesn't taste like shit.
Yes,
I think that we're
totally.
Still got a ways to go on the desserts, like healthy dessert, like go fuck yourself.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
like for
sure.
Some stuff, like there are some good options. So what are some of the options that you actually lean into to insert, you know, healthier options for food choice for you and your family?
I love that you're bringing this up because it's so true. It's like you can have the healthier version over here that tastes like shit and also is made of a boatload of garbagey empty calories, or you can have a replacement that's actually a high quality ingredient replacement that's good from a numbers perspective and good from an ingredients perspective. And not to go off on a tangent, which I always do, and I'll get back to the question, but like that's what we want to look for. That's what people forget. It's like they're either so focused on numbers or so focused on ingredients. So like if you're focused on ingredients, that's great, but you can have the healthiest diet in the world. If you're still eating into surplus of calories, you're never going to fucking lose weight. And that's just the bottom line. If you're over here and you're trying to like fill this void constantly and eating all of like these filler foods or whatever, you're going to feel shitty. You're not going to be satisfied. You're not obviously getting the nutrients you need to fuel your body, to fuel your workouts if you're working out appropriately, et cetera. So it really is finding these products that have this synergy, that have the best of both worlds, which is something that like I'm huge on, which it sounds like you are too, which is amazing. So some of my go-to products, I love this bread called Royo Bread. And if anyone follows me on Instagram, I talk about it ad nauseum, but it's because I only really push and talk about the things that I'm so passionate about. It is a high fiber, a high quality bread that is made from, again, like not like these like additives and synthetic fibers and things like that. It's made with things like psyllium husk and flaxseed and oat bran, and it has an amazing list of ingredients. It is a family-owned company, and they've been working really hard from the ground up to like build this thing that is just unbelievable. Their products are amazing, and they have bread, they have bagels, they have like these little like challah rolls, and they're just they're low calorie, high fiber, low net carbohydrate, and they have a little bit of protein in there as well. So those to me have been the biggest game changer, and I like push them onto everybody. And they're a little bit pricey, I'm not gonna lie, but I always say it's like the time to invest is in your health. And if you go to a deli and get a sandwich, I mean, you know, I live in New York City. It's like you're fucking paying $20 for a sandwich anywhere you go. It's like buy a loaf of bread that's a little bit more expensive, make your own sandwich, and bam, you're saving money and shit tons of calories, and it's way healthier. Yeah. So that's one of my top.
Love it.
Another one that I actually just did, trying to upload my Instagram stories for it right now, is a company called Fiber Gourmet. Which is another company that is high fiber, low net carb, a little bit of protein. They use something called RS4, which is a resistance starch. This is so like nerding out right now, but just so anyone who's curious, they want to know what's going into their food, is a resistance starch that's an insoluble fiber. So insoluble fiber, for anyone who doesn't know, is the fiber that our body doesn't take in as energy or calories. So it just goes right through the body. So that's why the calories come down and the carbohydrates come down, and it's very low in net carbs. And then again, very high in fiber, which we need fiber. Of course, we want to get the majority of our fiber from our plants, our fruits, and our veggies, but it's good to get it from these other sources as well. And they have pasta, and they have like rice pasta. Their pasta is insane. You have to try it. Like, it's seriously fucking top notch, and it's like a new staple in my household. It's amazing.
As an Italian, I always struggle. Yeah, but it's okay. As an Italian, I always struggle to accept anything that's not regular pasta, like anything that's like right. The healthy pastas, it's like, right.
You would probably eat
good,
it.
It's like, good if you're not Italian. Then it's like, oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes, totally. But it's no, like you have those it. those chickpea pastas and the bean pastas, and it's like, you know that you're like, this isn't good, and I know that's like, meh. But it's like, those also, by the way, are usually still pretty high in calorie and carbs. They just have more protein, which, you know, is good, but they have a lot of additives to them. So this one I found is like the best one. Comparably, is that a word?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the other side of this is like, just trying to substitute foods for quote unquote healthier versions isn't really fixing the problem. Like, if you have an issue with snacking on potato chips at night, and you switch that for like slightly more healthy, and healthy, heavy air quotes, because like sometimes it's just lower calories, but not actually healthier. So like, what, you know, we're just trading two things here. But if you're just substituting those, you know, regular potato chips for quote unquote healthy potato chips, you're not really solving the issue. You still have this food addiction, dare I say, at night where you're snacking on potato chips. And maybe that's a mental health thing that you can't, you know, you need to be feeding yourself to distract yourself from the day while you're watching TV, some shitty reality show to distract yourself from your life or whatever it is. Like, you've got to dig into that, figure out the solution to that before just making this swap to healthy chips that, again, probably you don't actually enjoy it.
Exactly. It's like the healthy, lower calorie ones that, you know, you're just going to da 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 da, and then at the end of the day, you're still eating just as many calories. Or it's like, right, oh, the avocado oil potato chips, which I fucking love. I mean, please, like, those are my favorite, like the kettle ones especially. But you're still getting the same amount of calories as a regular potato chip, which that's another hard thing for people to digest. It's like they see all these accounts and it's like, choose this over that and this over that. And they're great because it's true. It's less inflammatory. It's better for your gut health. It's better for your brain health. But at the end of the day, from a fat loss perspective, you're still not going to get where you want to get if you're eating an entire bag per day of avocado oil potato chips. It's still 180 calories and 15 chips. And, you know, if you're someone that doesn't have good self-control, you know, it's a huge eye roll when you're like, take 15 chips and eat these, you know?
Yeah.
It takes a lot of practice.
It's a super important point to make, I think, that healthy doesn't equal weight loss all the time. Like, more likely it will. But when we talk about food products, chips, nut butters are the biggest one, probably. People are like, oh, I started eating organic peanut butter, or organic, you know, almond butter, whatever. I switched off of Kraft or whatever, whatever other big one is in the U.S. I forget what Jiffy, whatever it's called. Jiffy. It's like, yeah, but you still had, you know, 4 tablespoons of that. Like, that's still 600
and
calories on your bagel.
Not like a shaved off tablespoon.
Yeah, you recorded 1 tablespoon in your macro tracker, but if we actually measured that, it's 4. You know, like, one serving of peanut butter is really not that much peanut butter.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, nuts in general. I mean, nuts, I hate nuts as a snack for anyone. Not because they're not healthy. They're so healthy and they're so beneficial, but like a quarter cup of pistachios is freaking 200 calories. It's like, and then you're going to be hungry 5 minutes later. So it's like, how can we make 200 calories and make the most of that as like a mini meal or a snack, as opposed to just having a handful of something and going back into the pantry 5 minutes later? It's another huge thing that I focus on, and I'm sure you do as well, in terms of, you know, people, it's just, it's like this ass backwards mentality of, more food automatically equals more calories, when it's just not the case. It's like, the point of the calorie deficit is to eat as much as possible and feel sustainable, not to eat as little as possible and be miserable, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you're definitely going to still feel a little bit hungry, and that's okay. And there's strategies and foods that you can choose to feel less hungry than you would otherwise. But like, one story that I can have about this, this was very, very early on, before I was even really a trainer. This guy, it was actually, thinking back on it, it's extremely weird, but this guy approached me and my buddy in the change room at the gym. And he's like, oh, I did this like transformation, this weight loss. I think he was a trainer there, showed us on his phone these before and afters. And he's like, I've been eating, you know, Reese's Pieces, bacon, and like, and all this other you know, junky kind of stuff. And he's like, oh, it's just like this, if it fits your macros, this new thing.
And
the time it was new. And in my head, I was like 18. I was like, cool. Like, he has a six pack, like, looks shredded, but like, that doesn't add up. Like, I get how it's possible, but like, there's no way this is the right way to do things. And now as you learn more, it's like, sure, you could do that, but you would be starving and fucking miserable if you did your diet like that, and not sustainable. Like, you can have one Reese's Pieces all day long and like, be happy about that. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's terrible. Right.
Yeah.
You're going to look like shit. You're going to feel like shit. I mean, I'm shocked you could even pick up a weight after that. But it's like we just have to think, you know, and there's that analogy that people give about cars, right? Like, treat your body like you have like the sick, like you have a Maserati or whatever. But it's true. It's like, all these cheesy sayings are true. Like, why do you want to fuel yourself with absolute shit just because it's going to get you from point A to point B? It's like, we have to figure out this medium where we're doing everything at the same time, which is also very overwhelming for people because it's a lot, right? And people don't want to put in the work, and, oh, this takes long. Wah, stamp my feet. And it's like, yeah, anything in life that's worth is worth fucking fighting for. So it's going to take time. It's going to take patience. Let's put our little patience pants on and just know that like, shit doesn't happen overnight. It's like, someone that doesn't go to the gym expecting to walk into the gym and then like a week later have like a fucking carved out six pack, like, just not gonna happen. It's the same thing with fat loss.
Yeah. And there's nothing better to invest in than our own health. Like, sure, maybe eating healthy food is a little bit more expensive. There's ways you can make it less expensive. But at the end of the day, like, and especially in America with the way the healthcare system is set up, I mean, here we get reamed on it in different ways, but like, it's very, very expensive financially to be.
You guys have like free healthcare there, right?
It's absolutely not free. Like, I don't have to take out my credit card when I go to the doctor, but like, a tax rate is effectively 73%. So like, it's absolutely not free.
So it comes out from somewhere.
we definitely pay for it. I just don't have to take my credit card out when I go to the doctor.
Yeah. Okay.
But I lost my train of thought there.
Sorry, I know.
No. So it's very expensive financially to be unhealthy, to be sick. Never mind the cost of missing out on your life, missing out on your kids and your grandkids, and not enjoying the things that you can do in life. Like, you can't put a financial number on that, but like, that is way more expensive than being healthy and paying a little bit more for some better bread, a little bit more for some better chicken or better vegetables or better, you know, whatever. So I think that that's it's hard to understand for some people and hard to communicate that without sounding like, look at me, like, I'm a trainer, like, spend more money on health. Like, you know, it's like a real estate agent telling you.
Yeah.
If a real estate agent, like, if you ask a real estate agent, it's always a good time to buy or sell your house. As a fitness trainer, yes, it's always a good time to get in shape, but I think that we have a little bit more.
And there's
more
like those other tweaks. Like, okay, if you can't buy the Royo bread that I'm talking about, because I do understand that that's not going to be in everybody's budget. Like, instead of like the white, super, super overly refined bread, you get something that's a little bit more seedy. Like, there's always good. I have something that I call good, better, best. And we do have to like acknowledge the fact that like, not everybody has the same budget. Not everybody's in the same thing, but it's like, you can give probably me or you any fast food restaurant, any menu, anything, any 7-Eleven, and we can go through and pick out the healthiest options in there because they all exist now. Like, places all have fruits and vegetables. They all have some sort of lean protein. I mean, you go to fucking Chick-fil-A and you get the grilled nuggets. I mean, like, come on. Like, these companies are really doing a good job because they know that people want it. They know there's a demand, and they know that, you know, I don't know how much they care about people's health, but I mean, they're showing it in other ways because they know that it's going to be a banger, you know? Yeah.
I don't know how many clients you have that are like live in a downtown area in like a metropolitan area, but when I was living downtown Toronto, it's a lot of the, I'm so busy at work and my corporate job and I don't have time to cook. So my problem is I'm always, you know, Uber Eatsing food. And it's like, well, hold on a second. Uber Eats doesn't have only French fries and cheeseburgers. Right, like the salad place is also sells their food on Uber Eats. Like, you just have to make that choice to make the better option. And maybe the salad is $3 more than the burger. But if you're ordering all your meals, you're not concerned about money anyways, because you're getting ripped off on the delivery fees and all the things that, like, that this is not your issue. Like, you need to just make better decisions. And there are plenty of them to be made. And it's really easy once you actually open your eyes to it.
It really is. You know, I think the number one question I always get asked is like, what's the best thing to take when you work in an office for lunch? And I'm like, a fucking turkey sandwich, like slap some lean turkey, maybe a little bit of avocado, tons of greens, a yummy spicy mustard on two slices of your favorite bread. But God forbid people eat bread. You know, it's still like this bread thing. It's like, find, again, a high, even like a thicker type of bread. You're looking at, like, try to find something around 100 calories or less per slice. You have some lean protein in there. So you got like 20 to 25 grams of protein, a handful of chips. You can pack that beforehand so that it's already portioned out for you, or some crunchy veggies on the side. And, you know, a huge water or like an unsweetened iced tea or something like that takes 2 seconds to make. And once you get on autopilot, you know, it's this whole anything, right? Anything, whether it's working out, bringing your lunch, meal prepping, food prepping, being healthier, it all comes down to changing habits. And we get in these phases where it's like, that's just your norm, right? Mm-hmm. So people get uncomfortable with the fact that they need a new norm because, yes, it takes time to get there and it takes practice, but that's really what it ultimately comes down to. And it's not necessarily like unlearning behaviors or making new behaviors, it's replacing behaviors. It's like, okay, let me take this behavior and just replace it with another one. I actually learned that when I had like a therapist working with my kids, and she was like, I was like, why do they behave this way? And she's like, you can't, she said something that like really clicked with me. And I'm like, this is the same thing with food. She's like, you can't develop like new behaviors, but you can replace them with better ones. And I just never heard anyone say it in that way. And I was like, that's so true. It's like, not like, doesn't have to be like new year, new me, new me, new me. It's like, just how am I going to do this in a better way that's more efficient, sufficient, and going to get me to my goals and then ultimately keep me there, because that's the main long-term goal.
Right. It sounds like your style of coaching is actually very similar to mine, where there's a very, very big focus on, let's get really aware and conscious of what it is that you're doing. Like, okay, you say that you're doing these things, but what are you actually doing? And how can we make small tweaks rather than, oh, you know, Susie Smith, thank you for signing up for my coaching program. Here's your macros, like hit this protein, hit this fat, hit this calories, and, you know, come back in 3 months and then pay me again.
Right, see you then. Like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Bye. It's like, okay, let's take a look at like, what are you doing? And then let's break this down and be like, okay, maybe we can sub out this. Maybe we can make this change. Are you open to that? What can we do that actually works with your lifestyle? And on the lifestyle, not to make it an abrupt switch, but we're kind of on this track anyways, is just the social aspect of this. Neither of us, and especially you, in the way that you portray, you know, your things that you're doing in your stories, you have a robust social life, which
going
is
going out like a crazy person.
No, but it's not like, a crazy person, but you're going out like a quote unquote normal person. A lot of people are like, oh, but I don't want to have to give up going out. I don't want to have to give up alcohol. And like, you know, there's lots of things with alcohol, but there's a difference between having 15 drinks a night and like going out and having a couple drinks and enjoying yourself. That's a different thing. So was it difficult for you to reintroduce that for yourself? As you mentioned earlier, you were like, you know, party animal, and now it's still going out, but you know, with a little bit more restraint or conscientiousness to what you're doing is probably a better way to say it.
So I just want to say, you speak so well and your transitions are like so smooth. I'm really into them. So, thank you. But, okay. So there's a couple of things here. So I can take myself personally, but then I want to like talk to the masses. Mm-hmm. My issue, personal issue, was more not about the alcohol, is what was happening around the alcohol. This is something, another thing that people don't think about. It's not just about the alcohol, and we'll get to that in a second. It's like, Is that sending you to the pizza place at 2 a.m.? Mm-hmm. Is that then having you hungover so that you can't hit your workout the next day? Is that then spiraling into, oh my God, I'm going to start again on Monday. I suck. I'm so defeated. I'm a victim. So now fuck it. I already fucked up. Now I'm just going to order Chinese food and binge out for the rest of the weekend. And that's what happened with me. So it was less about the cocktails. It was more about what the cocktails were leading to and what else was happening around them. So I want everybody to really like look at themselves and assess that and really like have that like hard talk with yourself in the mirror. Now, in terms of boozing, there needs to be, at least in fat loss, but ultimately in maintenance too, because in maintenance, if you just fuck off and do whatever you want, you turn into a surplus and you start gaining again, which is why maintenance is a whole other beast on its own. But there needs to be non-negotiables. And this is something that I really thrive off of. And I know that everybody else will and does, because like we need routine and we need boundaries. So for me personally, like I love my cocktails, but like once I start, I don't want to say I can't stop. That makes me sound like I have like an addiction of some sort, but like I like to party. I like to go out and have X amount, whatever it is. So I pick two nights a week where I can go out and I only drink two nights a week unless I'm on vacation or unless there's like an extra birthday party or just like something that I put around that I wanted to enjoy a cocktail at. Then maybe I'll have one and then maybe a couple of more, you know, the other two nights. But that is a hard rule for me because I found that like, you know, just like everybody, it's like that extra glass of wine on the couch or that like, you know, extra martini when you had a hard day at work. You know, I'm not saying that you can't use these things as outlets because I'm never going to like talk down to anybody like that because I do it too. But you have to be careful. And again, it's another behavior you have to replace with something more beneficial because it will catch up to you. I mean, every, you know, an ounce of vodka or whatever it is, ounce and, you know, we're looking at 90, 100, 150 calories, depending on how big the pour is. And these things really, really add up. And especially if you're someone with not an insane amount of weight to lose, like, you know, those couple of hundred extra calories per week will really make the difference. And they can very well be the difference on whether this person is making progress or not. Even if they have the most fucking buttoned up week and they're killing themselves at the gym, it's just, it's not going to be enough if they're taking in too many calories. So I really always recommend that to everybody, include, of course, my clients, but everybody out there, you have to have some hard lines. You have to have some boundaries and you have to make non-negotiables for yourself. Like me, there's never a time where I have a glass of wine on my couch and I just don't, because what happens when I do that? Then I want another one. Then I'm like a bottle in, and then it's 500 calories later and it doesn't benefit me. Then I wake up and feel like shit. And then I'm like tired for my kids the next day. You have to think ahead also of what your future self is going to feel. And I don't mean your future self like a year from now. I mean your future self 10 minutes from now, an hour from now, or the next morning. Like, are you going to be pissed about your choices or are you going to feel confident? You know, the way that we build self-confidence is to keep promises to ourselves. And this is a huge part of the process. You have to keep promises to yourself or your neck to gain trust in this new version, or like I said, and I don't love saying new, but like this better version of yourself. And that takes time. It's hard. It's like identifying with a new person, right?
Yes, exactly. And that's the most difficult part. This, I don't want to say I struggled with this, but like obviously when I was younger, used to drink more. And I think part of it was just being younger and like just didn't have shit going on. So like if I was, right, totally. I was hungover, it's like, yeah, whatever. Like, well, we're drinking right. again tonight. Okay, let's do it. Yeah. But like now it's like, okay, I'm not going to, I can't be hungover tomorrow. Like I got things to do. So for me, like I have a rule that I pretty well stick to, and I did a good job of it. Even this past weekend, I was at a fitness conference. Other people, there were, you know, drinks and stuff after. No one was like boozing hard, but my thing is like going back to understanding how it's going to make you feel the next day, and like the slightly in the future you is, I'm going to have one drink and that's it, because that second drink is not adding anything to what I'm doing. It's not making me feel more included. I don't enjoy the taste of the drink so much that's like, oh, I really want another one. And the other end of that is like, a second drink's worth of alcohol is not getting me to a level where I'm like, let's fucking party and like, let's have a great time. Right, so my rule is like, we're going to have one drink just to be included in the group and be, you know, whatever, and have that. And then that's it. Or I'm having 12 drinks and we're going, we're going on a night.
Yeah.
And that's cool, but that's obviously a conscious decision. And I'm, you know, I can't have things going on the next day and all that stuff. And that doesn't happen very often, of course. But I think that that's an easy way to frame it. And I love what you said about thinking about what are the future, what's future you going to feel about this? Like, is having 3-4 drinks, are the calories worth it? Do you really enjoy it? Did it make you have a better time? Did it make you feel more included in the group? Probably not, but it might be enough to get you to the pizza place the next day or afterwards and just make you not feel great the next day. And then the spiral downwards of decisions. And then it leads to this slope. And then it leads to this, like, every single weekend I'm starting again on Monday.
Yes. Exhausting. It's the most vicious cycle. And I lived it for so many years. And I really, it pains me to see this many people have to struggle with it on a daily and weekly basis. It really does. It's hard.
But that's why you've been so successful in your business and giving back to these people, because these things, and I think it's tough when we're just talking to each other, because some of these things come so simply to us. The idea is like, oh, just eat a turkey sandwich, just only have one drink, just stop right there. It's like, it is always just do X. And in reality it is, but we also understand how difficult it is to make those decisions. And it really comes from a place of like, yeah, we've been there. We know what it's like. I know it's hard, but you can also do hard things. So don't take this, whoever's listening, as like, oh, it's just so easy. It's not that easy. We get the difficulties of it and we care so much and so deeply. And that's why we speak with so much passion. Like, oh, I just want you to be better.
Right. 100%. And it like, and people say like, how long does it take for me to change? And it's different for everybody, right? It could be, it's usually not a month, but you know, it's a couple of months, a year, it's cut. And like I said before, it's like, not all of this is ever fully gone. You know, I can only speak for myself. I don't know if you agree, Dan, but like, it's like, you know, I have, even as a coach, even as like, quote unquote, like master of my craft, like there are things that sneak into me mentally where like, I have to have that conversation with myself, or I have to coach myself, or I have to like, I make a decision that I wasn't proud about and I just pick myself up. You know, no matter how great you get at anything, you're still always learning and growing and evolving. And we're fucking human. Like, we have these feelings. We're not always going to be so proud of every decision that we make, but it's less about the decisions and more about how you react to the decisions and how you pick yourself up from there. And that's, you know, a huge thing that I'm sure you get asked about all the time, right? The number one question, how do I get back on track? Yeah. And it's like, just like you said, it's like sometimes we just want to shake people, but it's like, you just fucking do. Like, you're always one bite, one meal, one decision away from getting right back on track. Don't make it a thing. We make it a thing. Like, we get, like, people just get in their own way. And it's like, get the fuck out of your own way and stop, because it's just another excuse, whether or not they know it or not. It's another excuse to not do the shit that you don't want to do.
If you convince yourself that you've gone off track, then you have gone off track. If you had one bad meal and you just start doing what you should have been doing before, like the next meal, then you're good. If you make it a thing, it will become a thing, like you're saying, right? Totally. You don't have to make this such a big deal.
There needs to be more logic. And this is what I always tell people to do, which is a good exercise in terms of whether you're counting calories or not. Because as coaches, we know you can count calories. You can also not count calories. You can count macros. You can not count macros. It all works the same way. You're just getting there in a different vehicle, you know? But if for anyone out there listening, if you make a decision that you're so pissed about, because again, it's going to happen. It's not the first. It ain't going to be the last. Okay? Take whatever just happened and look at it from a logical perspective. Do the math. It will make you feel usually better, quite frankly. It's like, okay, like take it, we need data. We need data to make ourselves feel better. So instead of like, oh, I had a piece of pizza, like I fucked up, or two pieces, it's like, okay, try to like Google where you were. Just try to digest how much you actually took in from a calorie perspective, like thinking it again, like logic, math, data, and you probably won't feel so shitty about it after the fact. It's like, oh, you go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. Who cares? At the end of the day, it was 350 calories. And oh, look, you got some protein with it. Move the fuck on. You know what I mean? What people struggle with is that they think that progress is made on one decision or one action. It's just not. It's the compilation of what you do most of the time, not some of the time. That is one of my lines that I use, again, like ad nauseum in my group challenges with my clients. It is what you do most of the time, not some of the time, that counts, that adds up the most. You will not make or break anything. Just like, you can't get skinny from a salad. You're not going to get fat from eating a donut. Like, it's just not going to happen.
You are absolutely 100% speaking my language. Like, the logic and the data applied to this.
We have to have drinks one day if you ever come into the city, or if I'm ever back in Toronto.
Absolutely. I've never been to New York City, actually, but I would love to come. I know. It's just like I've done downtown Toronto. I know New York is bigger, but it's like just another city, you know, and I fucking hate downtown anyways, but it's all that. But you're leaving the city soon, aren't you? Aren't you moving forward?
I am, yes. I'm heading down south, baby. South Florida.
Are you,
I don't know if that's really considered the South.
Are you worried at all? I'm sure you're not worried. That's not the right word. But your lifestyle is going to change. New York, very walkable, classes all over the place, like food options everywhere. Like things are going to change for you. And I don't want to go too long on this because I know we got to wrap up. But how are you planning to adjust your lifestyle based on like you're physically moving homes to a different living situation?
I am just going to take it one day at a time and breathe through it. It's very stressful. I've been in New York City for like almost 25 years at this point, or since from whenever I graduated college. And, you know, it's a lot for me to digest and swallow, but I know that there's a good, in terms of walking, I'm going to have to like figure that out because like I was even just there last week and like my phone was like, you are getting significantly less steps. And I was like, fuck you. I know. So, you know, even though like I'm moving to a beautiful community with tons of walking paths, I'm going to have to like definitely tailor that into my day because here I just everywhere I go is walking, obviously.
Right. You have to make an effort to go out for a walk. That's an endless walk versus like in New York City,
like going to the grocery store, going to get my kids. It's like my kid's school is a mile away, you know, just from that. Dropping them, you know, going there four times a day or two times a day, depending, like it's 2,000 steps there and back.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to figure out. The gym thing is a hard pill for me to swallow because I'm very connected to my gym community here with SoulCycle and all my best friends are there, my instructor and like things like that. So, but I'm confident to know that there's, you know, there's always great people out there and I'll build it wherever I land. Yeah. I don't know. No, I think me in another year from now and see where I'm at.
Deal. No, I think that's fair to say. And it's an important thing to, you know, there's not a whole lot to say on it other than acknowledging that like, hey, things are different. It is easier to get steps, sometimes easier to get to the gym. Food delivery and options and stuff are easier in a downtown setting. There's a lot of negative things of downtown, noise, pollution, blah, blah, blah. But
I don't have to see people pissing on the subway anymore.
Or just on the street or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But the suburbs are great for other reasons, but they have some downsides on the fitness front of things, if you frame it that way, right? But it's also the same thing. If you make it a problem, it's a problem. If you find solutions to the problem, then it's no longer a problem. And solutions do exist.
They do. Yeah. Beautifully said. I love that. And that's like, it's just like anything, right? Like, oh, now I have kids or now I have a 9-to-5 and you don't get it. And I don't have to, and I don't have to look. And it's like, yeah, you're right. Everyone else is in a different situation, but everyone else can figure it out within their situation, you know? Mm-hmm. And I love to kind of like, not like throw that in people's faces, like not in that way, but it's like, I know people say like, you have such a flexible schedule. You make your own schedule. I'm like, yeah, now I had a 9-to-5 job for fucking 17 years out of college. What was I doing? I woke up early to go to the gym if I had to. I was at the gym at 8 p.m. at night. I taught fitness classes on the side as a side hustle. I brought my lunch to work every day. Like, you know, I did it while I was also pregnant and having babies. Like, not to say like pat myself on the back and think that I'm so great. I'm just saying like, if you want to hustle, you can hustle. It just, everyone needs to know their why. Like, why are you doing this? And something you said before struck a chord, like you made a good point just in terms of like getting more micro and getting more specific. Like, people need to be specific. It can't be like, I want to be healthy. I want to work out more. Mm-hmm. It's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? When are you doing it? Is it written down? Like, write that shit down in blood. Like, there needs to be a plan of action and you got to go micro on it.
Love it. One thing on people saying that, you know, you have so much, your schedule is so flexible, your schedule, it's easy for you. The thing that I kind of throw back, and again, the context dependent and whatever, is like, yeah, my schedule is flexible, but you know what happens when I go on vacation? I don't get paid. You know what kind of benefits I have for my work? Zero. You know what kind of retirement plan I have? Zero. So yeah, it's easy. It's great. I can go to the gym in the middle of the day. You know what's not happening in the middle of the day? I'm not getting paid. So right. You know what happens at night when I didn't make a sale? I don't sleep. So like, yeah, yes. It's easy, I guess, if you want to say it that way. But
yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I like
again,
that.
Just being real about the situation,
so
right?
It's so true. Do you know how many hours we work? Literally 24
all
hours
of them.
A day.
Yeah, all exactly. Of them. All of them. Rachel, thank you so much for being here. I know we're tight on time. I hope that we can get to do another one where we have a little bit more time, another, you know, down the road.
I would love to. Where I thought we were going to go 15 more minutes. Are we stopping? Okay.
I thought you had to be out.
No, I can keep going until 3:30.
Oh,
if you want
amazing.
To keep going.
Amazing. Well, now I just cut myself off. And, that's weird.
Okay.
One thing that I actually did want to ask you about.
Okay.
So you just mentioned it, the workout classes. I'm very anti-workout class. I think they're very silly. you love them. I think they're very silly for certain reasons.
Yeah, I want to know why though. Like
because
why?
People say, oh, like, I want to get jacked. Guys, I want to get jacked. I'm going to F45. Like, not the right tool for the job.
That I agree with. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But exactly. You love them. Great community. Great. It's exercise. It's phenomenal exercise. It's awesome. If you're telling me you want to like deadlift 400 pounds, don't go to workout class to do
100%. Yeah. So anyone who wants to get big, listen to Dan. That's not going to be where it happens. Yeah. I think it's all about what your goals are, right? So like there was a point, it was either like last year or the year before, I was like, I want to build up my ass and I want a bigger ass. And so I actually hired someone from the mentorship. He's not in there anymore. To coach me. So for anyone who's listening, I'm primarily a nutrition coach. So I have a fitness background, but I don't coach my clients in terms of fitness. We have a fitness regimen for them, but I don't write programs for them because that's not what I do. So, he wrote a program for me and I had to do it like 2 to 3 times a week. And it was taking away from me from my classes. I was like, you know what? Fuck this. My ass is totally fine enough. And I like it. And like, I'm going back to my thing. But I was like, if I really want to build up my ass and want one of those like bubble butts, I would have to spend way more time in the gym lifting way more heavier weights for what I like to do for me personally, which is just like stay lean, stay strong, shit tons of cardio because cardio for me mentally is just like where it's at. Again, this might change when I go to Florida and my options might shift. But that's like what I get off on right now. And it's just like, I love like going somewhere at a certain time, paying for it so that I feel like I'm invested or I am invested, having someone else tell me what to do, be around people, whether I like them or not. I just personally like to be around people. And I like the spirit of it. I'm one of those like really annoying people that screams during classes and like just like is a lunatic. And I don't think in an annoying way. I think people appreciate it. But, you know, it's just like my jam. Yeah. It's just my jam. So, so for anyone intimidated to go to classes, because I know that that's a big excuse and a big thing. I don't want to say excuse because I understand how intimidating it could be to walk into a space where you feel like everyone knows each other, especially in like these bigger cities. It's like, that's how it is, you know, once you build that community. But like, just remember that no one's looking at, everyone's just, they care about themselves. Everyone's so self-involved. No one is looking, if anyone's looking at you, they either want to like fuck you or be you. Like that's just like what it comes down to, you know? Yeah. So it's like, don't worry. You can modify. You pick up lighter weights. You evolve over time. And if you don't like it, you try something else. You know, like nothing's ever set in stone. Like try something else, dip your toe and then figure it out.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, the community aspect of that is unmatched. Even just like I'm not a class guy, so whatever. But if I get to work out with a buddy, this morning I got to work out with a friend who's visiting Toronto, and like that was awesome. And it's way better to work out with someone than like kind of on my own. And you get that team environment a little bit, you know, friendly shit talking each other to push each other a little bit harder and that kind of stuff. Like, it's awesome. I think that the trouble sometimes is with beginners, and you're thrust into that group environment. It's forget the psychological overwhelmingness of it. I don't think that's a word, but we'll roam with it. It's the not knowing what to do. And so it's like, okay, we got squats, we got this, we got that. And like, maybe your form is not dangerously bad, but it's, you don't know what you're doing. And so, you know, you don't know what you don't know. Right. And so then it's very difficult in that environment where the instructor becomes friends with people in the class. So no fault of their own, but you end up paying more attention to the people who you know, because human beings. Second, there's like a lot of people in that class. So how do you then go about, okay, this person's brand new, or like, you know, we got 6 brand new people in here today. I can't really spend the entire time fixing each of their squats and then fixing each of their dumbbell row and then each of their whatever exercises next. And I think that that is a challenge. So
100%.
I almost view the workout classes as, I don't want to say advanced, but maybe slightly more intermediate, where you've got to have this like prerequisite level of experience in fitness or understanding of what your body's doing to really succeed in those without some of the downsides of possible injury. Is that fair?
That's a really important point. You're so true. Like, I bet you would look at most fitness classes and be like, oh my God, this is so cringe, you know? Yeah. And that's also a great note though. It's like, if someone's interested in going to workout classes, great. Maybe like hire a trainer for a couple of sessions, work with them just to get the form down and get a little bit familiarized with how the body works, what positions you should be in, et cetera. And then you can kind of like carry on with that. Do you do in person at all, or are you only virtual?
Yeah, still have a little bit of in person. I think.
Oh, that's nice.
I can, I will always keep in person.
Yeah.
Because I love it so much. You can't, you can't substitute that fact, that feeling of seeing someone in person, like when that moment clicks, when they finally learn how to do an RDL, they finally hit like their bench PR or like whatever it is. It's like you being there for that moment is phenomenal. Being able to coach them through it is honestly a way easier than doing it online.
Yeah,
because I can correct and cue and poke and prod, you know, with consent and all that stuff.
It's like physically getting your hands on someone is so different than like, oh, bend your knees.
So different. Yeah. So much easier, so much better. But like when I moved from downtown to where I live now in the suburbs, you know, the COVID and there's a whole lot of other things that were going on with that. But like I was only in person, no business goes to zero. When I move from the house that I'm living in now, when I get married next year, like the in-person clients, if I don't, thank you. Mm-hmm. If I don't live right where I live right now, which is unlikely, like the people that I have right now they're not going to train with me, and rightfully so, because I'm not going to travel like 45 minutes to them for one session. Totally. So for that reason, like
no one's got time for that. Yeah.
It's just not worth it. But it's actually a good point because, you know, you want to go to a gym that's close to you. Like yes. I go to gyms that are the closest to me. I don't go to a gym that maybe is a better gym that's like 45 minutes away. Cause even though like I love fitness and like, yeah, let's do the fitness all the time. I'm not commuting an hour each way to go to work out at a gym that's like slightly better. That's completely ridiculous. My 1 hour workout is now taking 3-4 hours of my day. Like how stupid is that?
Yes. Not smart. Although I do travel around the city to different instructors sometimes, but in the city, it doesn't feel as, I feel like I won't do that in Florida because it feels like farther in a car. Like we could just jump on the subway, even if it takes like 25 minutes to get there, it doesn't feel like 25 minutes because you could also like work at the same time. You
know? Right. But we're talking about shorter periods of time as well, right? It's like 20 minutes versus like 5 minutes where it's not like an hour. You know what I mean? It's different. Yeah. Like there's a wicked bodybuilding gym, Pure Muscle and Fitness. I don't know if you've seen it on Instagram, like near-ish to me. But it's like an hour and a half away. Like I would love to go work out there. It's like, nah, there's no way. Like, you know, 45 pounds is 45 pounds at every single gym. Like, sure, they have, you know, maybe some nicer equipment, a nicer, you know, washroom and change room area. But like, you know.
Definitely not worth it.
Whatever. I think that sometimes, though, those amenities do matter. And I think picking the right gym is important. If you have, like, options, which if you're in a city, you do have options. Like the vibe of the gym is very important. If you're in like a meathead gym and you're not a meathead, like that's a tough place to be.
It needs to be somewhere where you want to go to. Like if you're putting yourself in an environment that just like doesn't suit you, your vibe, your energy, you're not going to want to go. And then you're probably not going to go, which we don't want to happen. We want you going somewhere that's going to inspire you, somewhere that's going to make you happy. That's the other thing. It's like, listen, I'm not like shooting rainbows and like unicorns out of my ass all the time about like workouts. You're like, rah, rah, we're so coachy, but it's like true. It's just like healthy food is delicious and can be enjoyed and it can be easy to make and et cetera. And like workouts, while they're not always going to be the best or like the most exciting, whatever, like it can be a huge part of your life that just offers like so many like fuck the health benefits, like from a mental perspective, from like a community perspective. You know, there's so much more it can bring to the table. It just, we gotta reshape our outlook on it as a chore or a punishment. You know, like exercise is a luxury. Being able to move your body is a fucking luxury, not a punishment. You know, like you get your fucking legs chopped off, you'll regret every day that you didn't go to the fucking gym. You know what I mean? And you see these people with no legs that are still flying down mountains and doing crazy shit. You know, it's
exactly
there's very minimal excuses, if any.
It's sad to think about that, but way more people than they realize are headed towards that path, whether they're not going to be able to move because their back is so messed up or they're going to be so overweight that they can't enjoy their life. And people are literally opting out of things that are happening in their life because they refused by fault of their own or otherwise to not exercise. Now, if you have to get your legs amputated or something like that, that was a complete freak accident. Obviously that sucks. But like when you get the ability to move taken away from you, there's nothing that you're going to want more than being able to move. I was lucky, and again, air quotes on the word lucky, where I had an experience like that early on. I had a big knee surgery, blah, blah. I couldn't walk for a few months, couldn't even do anything on my own. I was going to get over it, but that was kind of my, like, all right, this could happen again. And this is going to happen to other people who don't have this knowledge and this willingness to kind of get out of this. And what a shame that would be. Like that whole time, it was cool that I spent that summer, you know, playing video games, watching sports, like just doing nothing, sitting on the couch. But it fucking sucked. It was the worst summer ever because I couldn't do any of the things that I wanted to do, even just normal stuff. Never mind playing sports and working out. Couldn't even go out for lunch with a buddy on my own. It was impossible. And so,
yeah, it's like we don't want to get to that point where it's like you have to have something taken away in order to realize how important something is, you know? And that's what people do with their health too. Like, oh, shocker, all of a sudden I have diabetes and I have this and I have that. It's like, now let me get healthy. It's like, okay, but like, how did we get to this point? And okay, yeah, maybe hopefully it's not too late. But like for anyone listening who's like, whether you're younger or older, whatever it is, it's like you got to take this by the balls and take advantage. And it's never too late to start. And it doesn't matter what your situation is. You can always become a better, healthier, more vibrant version of yourself. You know, that doesn't mean that you need to have a six pack and wear a thong on the beach, you know, like be healthy, yeah, move your body, feel amazing, sleep well, have energy, like the little things in life that make the biggest difference.
The six pack and wearing the thong and feeling comfortable and all that stuff, like that is cool, but is like the least cool part.
I do love a thong.
Of being healthy.
I have to say, I do love a thong.
Yeah, but like chasing aesthetic goals, like these things, it's cool. It's awesome to like take your shirt off and feel awesome, like, and feel confident. Like that is great.
Yeah, but it's still, if abs like, are on your cool list part. As part yeah. of your goals, great. Add them to the list. Why not? You know, we got to also get away from that whole like body image thing where like no one's allowed to like want to look hot anymore. It's like, why can't that also be on my list if I think that that equals hot? I know. I have to be politically correct, and everyone's version of hot is different, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, you don't have to be politically correct here.
Oh, good.
I think that as coaches, we realize that that is typically not a strong enough motivator in and of itself for people to like make a change. So I think sometimes it's enough to get the ball rolling. It's not enough to stick it through. Right.
Because they take becomes, long. Again,
exactly.
Long
and when you realize
results.
Like how hard it is to get like 10% body fat as a guy and like get like real shredded abs, you're like, I'm good at like, you know, my 15%.
I'd rather have some
like,
wine and
not
some
worth
pizza.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. And if you want to go for it, then go for it. Obviously nothing wrong with that at all. But it's these like deeper seated, you know, psychological things and things in your life that may sound like, you know, a little woo woo, a little soft, a little whatever, but like this is the stuff that actually keeps you going because those are the things that are genuinely important.
Like,
wearing
how
the thong,
about just
having
feeling
a six pack
fucking
is awesome,
amazing?
But,
you know what exactly. I mean? How about just like going through your day, having shit tons of energy and feeling, you know, driven? And I mean, we're not going to feel motivated all the time, but it's like having that again, most of the time, not some of the time. Like these are the things that matter and are important and will keep you going. You know, that's another question I get all the time. Like, what keeps you so motivated? And I'm just like, I feel fucking awesome. Like I'm turning 42 next week. I have two kids. Like
happy birthday.
I look and feel the best I ever have. And I think that's amazing. Like, I don't want to just age and like take it up the ass and be like, oh, I'm getting older and things are falling. It's a, no, I'm going to be like, I'm going to try to stay as fit and healthy and tight and energetic as possible, you know, until I can. And
you
will.
And you will. Because yeah, the exactly. age thing
and
is like, yeah, people get fat, lose muscle, blah, 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 as they age. Yeah, if you do nothing about it.
Right.
But like there
like
are plenty
see
of
those super old people that are just rocking it. And you're like, fuck yeah.
Yes. If it's possible for them, like it's possible for you too. And so I think I would be, if I was listening to this podcast, I would be motivated and fired up right
me
now.
Too.
So I hope that
let's
everyone else is fired up. Let's do it. Rachel, thank you so much for being here.
So
this was awesome. This was awesome. Where can people find you? And if there's anything you got coming up that you want to let people know about?
Coming up, I have a group challenge coming up in May. So that will launch in April. That's my pre-summer May challenge. So it's like just a great place with like-minded people where I'm basically your coach and it can feel like one-on-one if you get really involved with it. And it's just amazing. I've built these things for the past couple of years and they're just amazing. It's basically like a bigger group at a lower price point than my one-on-one. And Instagram is where you can find me at Rachel Schwartz Nutrition. Rachel with an extra A. It's RACHAEL. That's where the majority of my content is. And I check all my DMs and I try to stay really connected with people. So please, anyone who wants to reach out, please feel free and never hesitate to ask or, you know, whatever. I'm here for it all.
Amazing. Amazing. I will put your Instagram and contact in the show notes, but Rachel Schwartz Nutrition. Rachel, any last message that you want to leave the people with here in closing?
I just want everyone to know that you are all capable. You are all capable of being who you want to be and doing what you want to do. You just, again, got to get out of your own way. Stop overthinking. Stop overcomplicating it. Simplify it. Find people that you look up to that you can trust. If you need to hire a coach, if you don't, whatever it is. But like, where there's a will, there's a way. And it doesn't, you know, it doesn't, again, no matter what situation you're in, you can do it and you deserve to do it. Like, you're all freaking worth it. So don't wait until next year, the new year, the wedding, the after the kids, then just fucking do it now. Because if you keep saying it's going to start tomorrow, tomorrow's never going to come.
Love it. Let's fucking go. I'm fired up. Rachel, thank you so much. Thanks everybody for listening. Follow us both on all the places. Like, share, subscribe to the podcast to someone who needs it. You know that there's someone who needs it if it's not yourself only. That's that. Go outside. Be a good person. See you next time.